First Peter chapter 2. Peter is most of the epistles doing two things. One is trying to encourage the reader, the Christians, to continue on despite all the trials and tribulations and resistance, and secondly, to correct things that are wrong. And so we continue on. This is one of the, I find, most intriguing topics in the fact that both Paul and Peter encourages the Christian to obey the authorities, governmental authorities over them. And what's intriguing about it is I don't think anyone had more trouble with government authorities than Peter and Paul. And so how does this all fit together? But it should be an oxymoron to say that a good Christian is a bad citizen. They kind of go together, your citizenship and your devotion to Christ. And so we pick it up here at 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. It says, "Therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Now, after spending a lot of time in instructing believers to refrain from evil because they're emissaries of the Lord, and we talked about that last week, that you're ambassadors for Jesus Christ, Peter now indicates some specific things as far as what he means by this idea of submission and being a representative. The word submit here is hupoteso in the Greek, which means to line up after or to subject oneself to. So we're talking about something voluntary, talking about you should not have to be forced to subject yourself to legal authorities. It's something that you automatically do. To me, one of the most amazing things, but it shouldn't be so amazing, is the plethora of ads on about if you owe, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in taxes, you know, we can get you off. Well, a good Christian pays her taxes and pays it on time. And then you have a plethora of ads, you know, that people can get out of their tens of thousands of dollars of credit card debt. Well, if you made an obligation to pay something, you need to what? You need to pay it. Matter of fact, that's that Romans 13:8 that John read, is the fact, owe who? No man. And so to subject your oneself, to voluntarily come underneath, a believer will need to submit to the authorities God's ordained. There are four basic authorities God has ordained on earth. One, of course, the family, and that's where everything begins. As goes the family, so goes the nation. Second authority is the church. You know, Hebrews chapter 13 talks about, you know, to obey those who have rule over you. The third authority is government. And one of the problems with government is they tend to try to take over the authority of the other ones God has placed on earth, and to submit. And then the fourth one is your employer. It talks about, of course, the master and the servant in the scriptures, but that translates in the modern world into our society as those people have authority over you in your place of commerce. Now it says, obey every ordinance of man. Now the word ordinance is actually not the word ordinance. The word ordinance actually is quite often translated institution. You know, I remember Tommy Maggio said, isn't marriage the first institutions? I said, yes, that's the first institution to ask for God. He says, Tommy would say, I hate institutions. So I'm not quite sure what all that was about, but he would say that all the time. But the word is actually the word for creation. It's kind of interesting. Whatever God has created, the word katisis in the Greek. Now, it's kind of interesting. The authorities that God has placed over us has been placed there by God. And that's kind of interesting, is the fact that, you know, no government's risen in which God has not, you know, ordained. Now, there are things, exceptions, you know, we're going to talk about that in a little bit in a second, but the fact that God has ordained that we would have authorities over us, that when you're raised in a family, that your parents have authority over you while you're being raised as children. And we have governmental authorities. And, you know, if you're employed by someone, your employer has a certain amount of authority over you. And in the church, there's certain authorities. We have elders, we have deacons, you know. And so these are certain authorities. But the reason why they use the word ordinance here is because these are ordained by God. They're not happenstance. It's not by accident that these authorities are there. And so what God has created, submit yourself to. And by let me tell you something else about this word submission. Meaning to line up after. It's actually a military term there, to line up after. It is how we submit to our authorities is basically a test on how we're going to submit to God. Because if God tells us, I want you to submit to this, and we say no, then not only are we not submitting to the authority, but we're not submitting to God himself, because God has ordained us. And so it's a test for us, you know, as far as whenever you're talking about, you know, submitting to the government, to the laws, to taxes, to whom taxes is due, to submit to that. Now, submission enters at many, many levels. First of all, we submit to God first. Matter of fact, that's what Peter told the Sanhedrin, and this is where the conflict comes in. If the governmental authorities tell you to do something God says you're not to do, or not to do something God says you're to do, then you're to obey God over man. And that's what the Sanhedrin told Peter and told John, you're not to preach about Jesus Christ anymore. He said, well, you decide, should we obey God or obey man? That does not mean that Peter did not submit to the authorities over him. It meant that he had to submit to a higher authority. And, of course, that comes down, and there's been many theses done and papers and PhD work as far as were Christians, should they have been involved in the revolution, American Revolution, and, you know, probably have seen papers on that if you've gone to college. And the fact is, you know, the Declaration of Independence explains that we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are what? Created equal. And so we're going to be talking in a second about, you know, when do you not obey the authority over you, and what does that mean as far as submitting to the authority? Hold on a second. Secondly, submit to governmental authorities, and that's why I had John Reed, you know, from Romans chapter 13, is the fact that those authorities have been placed there for the good, placed there to punish the evil and to praise the good. And I find that phrase very interesting. It says, and tax whom taxes do, and government is there to tend to this very thing. Well, they surely know how to tend to collecting taxes, you know. And so they tend to this very thing. So we submit to government authority, submit to church leaders. Matter of fact, it's kind of interesting. Hebrews 13, it says, not only are to submit to church leaders, but don't you know they have to give an account for your very souls, which is kind of interesting. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as unto the Lord. Okay, and so we've We've done messages on that, particularly Mother's Day messages and things like that, about the husband is responsible to lead his house, and his husband and the wife submit, and then the children submit to the parents. Children, submit to your parents, Ephesians chapter 6. You know that not only are you to obey your parents, it says that children obey your parents, it's right in the Lord. It's the first commandment with promise. There's a promise there that was given, you know, it's kind of a, mistranslated promise, misinterpreted promise. It's in fact, has nothing to do with individuals living long on earth. It has to do with Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 5, living long in the land. But it says, it's so important, it came with a promise. Believers are submit to each other, it says over in Ephesians 5:21. Submit yourself one to another. We are to attend to the things of other believers. So we place the needs of others above ourselves. That's what it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Thinking on the things of others more what? You know, more important, more highly than your things. And so we need to understand it. So what about it? What is it about Christians in government? Well, first of all, believers are to be good citizens. It shouldn't be the fact that, man, this person's a Christian, so he's a rebel. Well, that should be an oxymoron. It shouldn't be. Believers are to be good citizens, obeying every law, paying the required taxes, and supporting rulers. I know there's a movement. Kevin Hovind was part of that movement where, you know, taxes aren't going for things that are righteous, so I'm going to withhold taxes. We're not given that option. It's for up to us to pay taxes. It's up for the government to decide what to do with it. Now, I disagree with a lot of things, you know, that they have. Matter of fact, I think Mr. Musk has uncovered a bunch of stuff, you know, as far as what they've been spending our money on. Our responsibility is to, what, pay the taxes. It's not our responsibility to decide where the taxes go and what they're spent on. We support our rulers. And I know this is hard, especially we just came through a difficult campaign season and election season. We got to be careful about disparaging authorities. We have to distinguish between opposing, evil intent by rulers and to castigating them as individuals, as people. And I understand the temptation to do that. But the scriptures say we are to honor the king and honor the, you know, in our case, honor the president, even if we disagree with him. And so there's a fine line there. There's a statement in the military, you salute the human form and not the man. And so he's a general, he's a what? He's a general. You might not like this guy, but he holds that position. And so it's to be good citizens. We are to honor those people who have control over us or have authority over us. Believers are not to be anti-government. Now, several considerations here are about government. First of all, government is ordained by God. Romans 13. You know, one of the things, if you go through the typical dispensations, the age of government, you know, is one of those dispensations. Government is to promote the good and punish the evil. Now, quite often, that hasn't been happening. But that's what their calling is. And they'll be held to account for how they do that. Believers are to pray for your government. When was the last time you prayed for the president or the governor or the councilman or the school board chairman or whatever? So we're to pray for them, pray for our officials, and seek the welfare of one city and country. Matter of fact, one of the things I found intriguing is when God sent Israel into exile, or Judah into exile, he said, now when you get there, I want you to pray for the city to which you're sent. I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, you're foreigners in a foreign land. You're not people of the covenant. But he said, I want you to seek the welfare of that city when you go there. In other words, you're going to be exile, but you're going to be a good citizen in exile. And so that's what they were commanded to do. And so so we submit to these proper authorities. That gives a testimony that the believers behave properly and orderly. It should never be a testimony and a witness saying, oh, those Christians, you know, they're really difficult to deal with because they're always disobeying the law. No, we should be law-abiding citizens. That's what the scriptures talk about. Believers can't be excused or accused of disorderly conduct or undermining authority. By removing an excuse to accuse believers, the critics are put to silence as being foolish critics. Now, here's the divergence. Say, how come Paul was always in trouble with authorities? How come Peter was always in trouble with authorities? There's a difference between submitting to government and submitting to evil done by government. Okay, this is a fine line. We're not opposed to the president or the senator or the Congress, but we're opposed to evil. So if it comes down to a choice of honoring the emperor or the king or the president or governor and doing evil, we're not to do the evil. We don't honor government officials by agreeing with evil. And that's one of the debates that was back in the colonial days when we separated from Britain. So, for example, let me give you examples in scriptures where you have it. Daniel refused to obey to the king for 30 days as was directed. Remember, that's how come they actually go to the king, Darius, to make this law so they can trap Daniel. So Daniel, just like he did every single day, opened the window towards Jerusalem and prayed three times a day. Now, you say, well, Daniel could have avoided the problems by keeping his window shut. But the problem is Daniel refused to yield what he's doing, and he made actually a public testimony not to dishonor the king, but to say, I'm going to continue honoring the Lord as I always have been. So he disobeyed that, gets thrown into the lion's den, has communion with the lions, and it's taken out, and then the people accuse him. They're thrown into the lion's den and were eaten. Daniel's friends refused to bow down to the king's statue. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had this vision of this statue. And the head of gold, and that was Babylon, that was Nebuchadnezzar. And then the arms and torso of silver, which the Medes and the Persians. And then, of course, the torso of brass, which, of course, was the Greeks under Alexander the Great. And then the two legs of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire eventually separated into East and West, Constantinople and Rome. And then the five toes, which is the five kingdoms, or the five toes on each foot, 10 kingdoms, latter times. And by the way, let me just make this statement. It's a fool's errand to try to read into prophecy the daily newspaper. I mean, what are the 10 kingdoms? I don't know. But there's five east, five west. I don't know. Matter of fact, one of the things when I taught in Moscow, the students were really concerned about, it says, ask if I believe that Magog was Russia. It's going to attack Israel. They were concerned about that. I says, I don't know. Russia is to the north. But of course, the math doesn't add up. An army of 200 million people, Russia couldn't put an army of 200 million people. Why? Because they only have 136 million people in their country. I don't know. And if we don't know, we shouldn't what? Shouldn't speculate, right? And so, but the friends refused to bow down to the statue. He made a statue. It was a weird statue. Only 10 foot wide and 90 foot tall. It's more like a totem pole, you know? And when the music was played, they were to bow down, and of course they refused to bow down, and Nebuchadnezzar really liked him, said, I'm going to give you another chance. He says, we're not going to bow down. He said, well, no one's going to save you from my furnaces. Listen, God can save us from your furnace, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. Thrown in a furnace, of course, it says, one like the Son of God was on in there with him. I believe that was Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. You know, there's debates on that. But then they came out, and it didn't even smell like smoke. So they refused. Were they dishonoring Nebuchadnezzar? No, they were honoring the Lord. The Lord has to be honored before, you know, authorities. Elijah pronounced judgment on Ahab. Was he disobeying the king or dishonoring the king? No, he was saying, the God of the universe says, Ahab, you're a dead man. You know, and you're going to die on this very field that you took from Naboth. Peter and John refused to stop preaching about Jesus Christ. He says, you know, you can, you know, do whatever you want to with us, but you decide whether it's better to obey God or to obey man. And then you have that speech by Gamaliel, you know, says you better not oppose God if these guys are really from God. Paul testified of Christ before the Sanhedrin, and then when the high priest said, you know, strike him, you know, because he had said that he has good conscience before all men, and he struck him, and Paul says, may the Lord strike you, you whited tomb. And they said, do you dare talk to the high priest that way? Oh, I didn't know it was a high priest. Well, and that goes into, you know, the eyesight, the thorn in the flesh, stuff like that. And so he would refuse to dishonor that. You know, even though, and David, even though Saul was chasing him, he refused to dishonor, to strike Saul down, even though he had opportunity to do so. And so there's a difference between obeying the government and refusing to do evil. Christians are to utilize their citizenship rights as proper citizens, but stay within the boundaries of obeying God. For example, Paul did that twice in the scriptures. Paul refused to be scourged by Lysias. He says, is it right for you to scourge me, being that I'm a Roman citizen? And all of a sudden, Lysias, the captain, said, you know, I had to pay for my citizenship a great price. He said, no, I was born free. I was born, you know, in Tarsus, which was a Roman city. And so, he refused to allow the officials to send him away secretly in Philippi after they had scourged him and put him in jail. And the jailer said, okay, you can go now. I said, no, you have them come and take me out. Don't you know we're Roman citizens? Say, oh boy, we got a problem here. You know, and so they came and they said, please, would you leave? Would you just please, just go, you know. And so Paul used his citizenship. So obeying the law and paying your taxes is the will of God. But obeying God is the first priority. You submit to every single authority given to you, unless they disobey God. I remember years ago I had a woman come to me whose husband wanted to spice up their life by watching pornographic videos. And I told her, I said, listen, you have to obey God before you obey your husband. You submit to your husband as what? As unto the Lord. And so you have to stand up for what is right, even if your husband is wanting you to do something that's wrong. And that gives a testimony to your husband, no, I have to obey the Lord. You don't be disrespectful, right? You don't argue. You just say, no, I can't do that because the Lord told me I'm not to do things like that. Okay? And so we need to understand that we're to obey in all sense unless it violates something that God has already commanded us. Now, we are to live a life of respectful service. We should be known as people who are honest and trustworthy and those who are law-abiding. They should be able to see it in the way we drive on the road. They should be able to see it by our honesty when we're dealing with paying our taxes or obeying the laws. are doing, if they say to do certain things, you know, then you do it, unless it violates the law of God. And so we are to be known as those people who serving the Lord and doing His will by serving others and deferring to those in need. Now notice how Peter ends this discussion. He says there are four things I want you to do in this regard. Number one, honor, the word tomeo, respect, all people. Say even unholy people? Yeah. Listen, our respect for others is because they're made in the what? Image of God. You know, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. Made in the image of God, we respect them, even though they might be evil people, everything. We disagree with the evil, but we respect them as people. Secondly, love the brethren. You know, inside the body of Christ, as several times in Scripture you have, they'll know you're my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. You know, love the brethren. It's called in James chapter 2, the royal law is to love, so love the brethren. Three, fear God. The word fear here means awestruck reverence. There's a fear that's just a fear of danger, like the Greek word phobias. Then there's a fear which has to do with reverence, and this is what this is talking about. Then honor the king. Now in our situation, we're not talking about kingdoms, right? We're talking about the president, we're talking about the Congress. So honor to respect the earthly authorities. Now, I'm going to end by saying this. That is a real, real struggle for a lot of Christians. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is one of the prime examples. World War II, Adolf Hitler taken over unconstitutionally. By the way, tyranny always comes through unconstitutional means. You know, he outmaneuvered Hindenburg, he outmaneuvered Papen, you know, to take over as chancellor, then made himself the leader, the Führer. Bonhoeffer had to decide. Remember, in Germany, they were told that they'd have to submit to the government and become state churches and can only teach what the state told them to teach and everything else. And so Bonhoeffer and a bunch of others, Karl Barth encouraged him in this, and then Karl Barth went to Switzerland. Bonhoeffer stayed. Matter of fact, Bonhoeffer was in the United States when this was happening. He was in New York. And he went. He didn't have to go back. He went back. He said, I have to be with my people. And he had to confess in church. And Bonhoeffer refused to submit. He had to submit to God rather than submit to man. He wrote the book called what? The Cost of Discipleship. And so Bonhoeffer refused. As a matter of fact, he was even in on the plot to assassinate Hitler. Because he decided that he had to oppose evil, that he wasn't disobeying the Lord and the government, that there was evil that had to be overcome. Now, the reason why I ended with this is we might have to make decisions coming up, right? Whether we're honoring authorities or standing up for what is right and taking the punishment for that, there's a difference between honoring the authorities and obeying evil. And we have to decide, you know, where it is. You know, many of you fought that battle, actually people before you perhaps, on the homeschooling. Because the government tried to say, you can't do that. Tried to shut it down, and they fought for their rights because children are a heritage of the what? Of the Lord. And you're responsible. So honor the government. Honor authorities. But honor the Lord first and always. Amen? Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here this morning. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you just help us to be good citizens and to honor the authorities that you placed over us, that we might be able to be good examples to those who see us and who are watching us. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, a blessing on each person here. And Lord, if there's anyone who is listening or is going to be listening online later on and doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, may they come to Jesus Christ and honor and please you by pleasing your Son and accepting him as Savior, Lord. Lord, just bless this people, Lord. Draw us ever closer to you through Jesus Christ. Amen.